Hello and welcome.
Welcome back to our podcast.
Welcome back to our podcast.
Number 20.
Episode 20 of In the Shadow of the Evening Trees.
I'm Jennifer Von Ebers.
I'm David Von Ebers.
We are a married couple, dynamic duo.
Are we?
Podcasters.
We're
influencers.
We've been watching because we're old people. We watch Wheel of Fortune.
Yes.
You have to do that just like at a certain age they make you move to Florida.
You have to start
When you get to a certain age, you have to watch Wheel of Fortune, and they've had professional wrestlers on this week.
With regular contestants.
And it's easily the most awkward television, the most awkward television in the history of television. It's very weird.
I'm not sure why they started that what came about of it.
I have no idea.
But it's very, very bizarre.
When you said dynamic duo, I'm like, well, that's like
WWE.
Sounds like tag team wrestling.
I do have a question for you before we get started, and you don't know.
Well, we've already gotten started.
Yes. I was thinking about this before we started to record the podcast. Is for those of you who don't know, we have an Instagram page, Jen and Dave, and we have over 150 episodes on our Instagrams that we recorded video of. Do you prefer that format or podcasting? I'll tell you my answer if you want to go first, or I can go first.
I kind of like them both, although. The frustration with the videos to me was not making them, but we initially posted them on Instagram, and then Instagram continually changed the rules, and so it became difficult to, that whole process became difficult. And we have a YouTube channel where we would post videos on both platforms, but it just kind of got bogged down and difficult dealing with Instagram.
So and the I kind of time that it would take to upload, it was a nightmare.
I mean, we had fun with the.
We did have fun. I would say that for both, though, I kind of prefer podcasting over video because, A, you don't have to worry about where you're looking.
That's true. That's a big point.
Yeah. You don't have to get it. I don't have to get a cute outfit on or do my hair and makeup.
But so you look fine. That.
Thank you. And I think it's kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off not having to pay attention to what you're actually looking like talking versus talking into microphone.
Well, and some people kind of do both video and podcasts as one sort of thing. The trick from a technology standpoint is that if you want to have, you could just record a video and call it a podcast and put it on your, YouTube channel.
Okay, yes.
Or you could put it on your own website or both. And we recorded at least one video for our website last year on Trans Day of Visibility, which, by the way, is coming up again. But you could do that, but you can't. In order to have it on, the hosting services, you'd have to separate just the audio and post the audio as your podcast. So it raises a technological challenge. You can do that because you could record video and audio separately, which we used to do sometimes.
We did.
And then in...
We're in my
The professional... the professional...
I don't know if you heard the toilet flushing from the third floor.
Wasn't one of us. Well, not from the second floor.
Yeah.
We're in the basement.
We're in the basement.
Two floors above us. But anyway, we did that because in iMovie, among I'm sure other programs as well, you can record a video like on your iPhone or on an iPad, and then you can delete the soundtrack from it. Let me back up. You could simultaneously record video and audio on two different devices. If you're using your phone or an iPad to record the video, obviously it's also going to record audio as well. But you can delete in iMovie. Did I say iTunes? I meant iMovie. In iMovie, you can delete. You upload the video, you can delete the audio track, and then you can put in an audio track that you recorded on a separate device. So I think what we used to do is we'd record the audio on our iPad and the video on our iPhone because it has a nice camera, and then just take the audio from the audio-only track on the iPad and sync it up with the video track.
I think this is much easier.
Well, right. It was complicated, and I suppose... you know, there's got to be, you know, much more sophisticated setups where you could do both of them and then separate out the audio track and post it as a podcast on Apple Podcasts. But it's a little over our heads. We just use, since we're talking technology, we just use GarageBand on the Mac.
Yes,
and
we do.
And we just record directly into GarageBand and then convert it to an MP3, and then that's the audio track.
So far, so good.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. There are some little tricks in terms of the microphones that you use. We just have one Yeti microphone that, you know, we're close enough to that the both of us can talk into, and it comes out as one nice track. If you use separate microphones, you basically have to set it up, and we've done it before, but it's complicated. You set it up to basically record one, I guess it's really a mono track with both microphones feeding into a mono track, so that when a person listens back to it, they're hearing both microphones in both ears.
Exactly.
If that makes sense. But I think it's mono when you do it. But that doesn't matter in a podcast in any event. So we're kind of getting off down that rabbit hole. But there are other ways to do it, you know. But we just use the single microphone if it's just the two of us. The downside, I suppose, is it's going to pick up more ambient sounds, like the toilet flushing in the background or the cats
crying.
Yeah, the cats crying or scratching in there. Various scratching posts and surfaces and whatever, but it's easy to do it that way, and then it just comes out as a single track in GarageBand. We have a separate music track where we have our little theme music, and then
our opening,
and then we just record one audio track, both of us using the same microphone. There are other ways to do it. But yeah, I mean, we tried a bunch of different things. We tried separate microphones feeding into the audio track. But then on the iPad, you basically end up with, you know, just two different channels. So you hear one voice in one ear and the other voice in the other ear. You know, it gets too complicated. So that's kind of where we resolved. Now, initially we were going to keep up the videos, but because of the frustrations with Instagram, we just kind of let that go.
Yeah, because we were obviously video or recording more than several minutes, so it was that a long video, and, you know, doing all that was just kind of like a lot.
And we would sometimes do separate segments. So, like, it was sometimes we would, you know, if we were
making,
we would do something, we were cooking for dinner, we'd do a little video clip of that, and then we'd do, if we were going to a local forest preserve on a Saturday for a walk, we would take
totally
some video.
I forgot about that. We would have like a day, like a weekday in the life of,
There were frequently some cat videos
yes.
that we would splice in there too. So, you know, that was a lot of effort. We basically, listen, this is one take. Start to finish.
We're not cutting.
Fool around. Well, we have done that, but most of the time we don't. So we've let all of our secrets out now.
Well, and if we remember, we'll put it in our description of this video, the link to our Instagram, if you ever want to watch old videos of us.
Right. And I suppose also the YouTube channel, because I think I think almost all of it is archived on the YouTube channel.
Because it was actually a thing that we started, and I'm not going to talk about this for that much longer because once the pandemic started, we were at home. We needed a project.
We were bored. We were bored. And the videos began, this is true. The videos began on, I think it was, the 45th anniversary of the release of Born to Run, the Bruce Springsteen album, Born to Run. And I actually, foolishly, broke out my acoustic guitar and played a little bit of Thunder Road, the opening track from that album. And I mean, it was mediocre at best. And that was a short, I think that was only a few minutes, 5 or 10 minutes. And then we started doing a little bit longer ones, and we settled on like a half hour seemed to be a good time frame.
Yeah.
You just heard our cat Gordy crying in the background.
Who is very needy and needs attention.
Who's very needy, but she's also very affectionate and nice, and she likes people.
Yes.
So we got that going for us, which is nice.
And her daycare is closed for now.
Yeah, yeah.
We actually have Since David and I both work from home, there's periods of the day where our cats need our attention when we're not able to give it to 100%. So we've come up with the thing that has worked sometimes, most of the time, is in our daughter's bedroom, who's away at college. She has a TV in there. We'll turn on the TV for videos for cats, and they have them for any kind of pet too. So if you have a dog or whatever.
Do they make them for like llamas, do you think?
Maybe they make them for llamas.
People have llamas. Yeah.
So there's cat videos of like bunnies and birds and squirrels and eating nuts and all
sometimes
that stuff.
Sometimes all of those things.
Sometimes all of those things. And fish. Literally they can like watch TV, basically.
Yeah, right.
And that's their daycare during the day.
So that isn't the sole. Well, you can talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Oh, no.
We have no rules.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I was going to say, unfortunately, there are some bad things, or at least just weird things, mm-hmm. weird and bad. One of my favorite stories of the week, although it's actually, there's a lot of negativity in it as well, if that makes sense, is did you hear about this? This principal, the school principal in Florida, I think he was a charter school principal, who got fired because kids in the elementary school saw, or I guess were exposed to, a picture, maybe more than one picture, of Michelangelo's Statue of David.
Yes.
Which, you know, as you might know, is of a naked guy, right? Right? You know, one of like the, obviously the most, you know, well-known famous works of art, probably among European works of art, easily in the top four or five most famous European works of visual art in any event in the world. And apparently because it's a full frontal statue, People were upset. So the principal actually got fired. And then I saw, well, two things that are kind of funny. Number one, every news article I saw on it, every single news article I saw on the story had a great big picture of a statue of David.
So it didn't have it from like the chest up. Right. It was the whole thing.
They could easily have done, but it's like, here is the full Monty. Picture of the Statue of David. So, I mean, in and of its, you know, our media fails us often, but sometimes you can tell that even our less than stellar media has just had enough of the idiots. So they plastered that picture everywhere, everywhere. But then, so that's the first kind of humorous thing about it. Then the second thing was I saw, and I can't verify this, but on Elon Musk's Twitter, there were people posting pictures. So it was the school board president who got the principal fired. And he apparently is a wealthy fellow. And he's got some big estate. And apparently there are these sort of like classical sculptures around the guy's property, including sculptures of naked children, little cherubs and so on and so forth. But you got to ask yourself, first of all, I mean, the whole conversation is dumb because artwork has been like this like forever.
Yeah.
And you know, none of it is really problematic. But you have to ask yourself, if the full frontal statue of the adult in an art museum is a problem, what about this guy's little naked, or I guess you'd say naked, because he's in the South, these little naked cherubs on the man's front lawn, holding vases or water jugs or whatever the hell they
are. Right.
It's such a stupid controversy, and yet it's like such a predictable thing. I'm going to let you in on a secret.
Okay.
Straight men, especially straight white men, I have to say, but probably goes beyond that, are incredibly obsessed with genitals. And honestly, incredibly obsessed with male genitals. I mean, a lot of this has to do with their, you know, freaking out over the idea of trans people using bathrooms and things like that. But it even goes beyond that. I mean, these are the guys who, you know, walk around naked in the health club locker room, or, you know, insist on standing at their urinal right next to you. There's a guy. This is a true story. We should, by the way, we should have a Twitter Hall of Shame. I can't remember this account, so I won't embarrass the person because I think he ultimately blocked me or something. There's a guy who had an anonymous account who claimed to be a Chicago cop. Could be, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, there's no way to verify it. People can say anything. But he popped up out of nowhere one time and was upset with something that I had tweeted. And he's yelling at me on Twitter about it, and we're arguing back and forth. And then at some point, he literally said, I'm not making this up, he said something like, you must pee sitting down.
Whoa.
Like, and I mean, it's too bad that the exchange was over the internet, because if someone said that to your face, you'd like break down laughing. Like, yeah. You would laugh in the guy's face. But what I'm trying to get at is there's a certain... There's a certain, first of all, it cracks me up because I'm like, so you're saying I'm lazy. but there's, I mean, but just try to wrap your head around the idea that there are purportedly straight men who are actually concerned about the way other men use the bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and the funny thing too is that I've actually heard this bizarre thing before. There was years ago, before social media, I know I'm rambling, but I'll wrap it up quickly. Before social media, you know, people had blogs, and the comment sections of blogs were kind of like,
yes, they were
a precursor of robust social media. Yeah. So there's a guy, he doesn't blog anymore, but he called himself Jesus's General. And it was a satirical account, kind of, you know, maybe like the Colbert Report kind of thing. He pretended to be this super religious conservative person, but it was all satire. But he found, there was, I can't remember the pastor's name, and I wish I could. He found some pastor who had like a YouTube channel, and the pastor would have his sermons recorded and posted on his YouTube channel and on the church's website.
Gotcha.
And this guy had like a whole thing where he ranted and raved about, I'm not making this up, in the sanctuary, in his church, he would rant and rave in his sermons about men sitting down to use the bathroom.
Huh.
When did this happen that people became so obsessed
that
with
is
this
so
sort
bizarre
of thing? But so... I have a theory. So there's clearly, you know, some of these allegedly straight guys are very concerned about, you know, how you do your business in the bathroom, and they're concerned about the Statue of David because, you know, what are they feeling inadequate?
Maybe
they're feeling a little flutter when they see it. I don't know, but there's something, there's this unique thing about a lot of straight guys. They're absolutely obsessed with this kind of thing. So I know this is a family show. So we can't
this
go on.
This is the After Dark.
This is the After Dark version. We can't go on with that. But, you know, it's just like, it's amazing to me. These are the guys who literally, I swear to God, if you're talking about whether somebody sits down or stands up to pee, let me just say, no one wants you next to them at the urinal.
Right.
Okay? You go stand over there.
Do not go sidle up,
yeah,
right next
right,
to
right.
Me.
You know that guy's doing it. You know that guy is sneaking a peek. That's all I'm going to say. So why they're so obsessed with the Statue of David is beyond me.
Well, and you wonder, like, is that going to be, like, something temporary and then they'll bring the guy back? Or do you think that is just, like, fired for good?
I don't know.
I mean,
that's
like a ridiculous reason.
Well, the problem is, you know, charter schools kind of, I mean, even though they're technically public schools, you know, they kind of operate on their own, you know, in their own way. And that's one of the objections, I think, to charter schools is that they don't, you know, really adhere to a lot of the things that public schools, regular public schools have to. I mean, I suppose... The guy, you know, I mean, it's a First Amendment issue. The guy might have a claim that he, you know, if it's a public school and not a private school, he might have a claim. I don't know.
Well, and especially for having a focus like that. And I know that, I think that happened before the Nashville event that just happened this week. But it's like, when you look at the crisis of the assault rifles in schools, that kind of looks like a dumb comparison, you know, to like focus on that when there's such bigger issues in the school system.
Well, yeah. And you know, I mean, it's hard not to talk about that, that incident in Nashville. And we had an episode a year ago, well, not quite a year ago. Yeah. I guess it was in June after the shooting down in Texas. And when we came back and started recording again, one of the things that we talked about is that kind of that incident sort of, at least for me, kind of, you know, it was such a horrible thing. It made it very difficult to kind of keep going with the podcast. And that was one of the things that sort of, you know, made it difficult for me. Anyway, but, and we talked about this back when the thing in Texas happened. It's like, for our entire lives, you know, we've had kids in school from really before the year 2000, if you count, you know, preschool. All the way up to our, you know, our youngest is now a junior in college, will graduate next year. So you're talking about, you know, 24, 25 years. I will never forget when our oldest was at that point only 3 years old, so she was not quite yet in preschool.
Right.
We were driving out to the suburbs on, I think it was a Thursday night, because I was, my nephew, one of my nephews asked me to be his confirmation sponsor. And we were going out to the actual confirmation ceremony. And it happened to be the day of the Columbine shooting. And because I was going to leave work a little bit early, so what was that, 1999?
Right.
I was going to leave work a little bit early to get out to this event in the suburbs. I was not paying any attention. I wasn't looking online. I wasn't watching any news. So I didn't know that that had happened. And we're in the car with my mom driving out there. And that was the first I heard of it on the radio in the car. And from that moment until today, that's kind of been our life periodically as parents. And it's worse, you know, for kids. These incidents keep coming up. So like from driving to my nephew's confirmation mass, hearing about Columbine for the first time in 1999 to, you know, a few weeks ago when the shooting happened at Michigan State University, and I had to text our youngest early in the morning. I think it was on a Friday morning. It wasn't a Friday. It was a Wednesday morning, actually. The shooting happened on a Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, texting our daughter to say, hey, are you okay? How are you? And she doesn't go to Michigan State.
Right.
But, you know, this is what these kids have had to live with all these years. So it's just like, it's such a mind-blowing thing. And it's just gone on and on and on. And there, you know, no one is going to step up and do anything.
No. And it's like one of those things where it'll be in the news for a few weeks or so, and then it'll die down until the next one happens.
Until the next one happens.
We'll talk about it again. Also, you probably saw this on the Twitters, too, about talking about the person who was responsible for it being transgender, and then idiots saying that right. It was because of the testosterone that she was on that made her do that.
Well, okay, a couple of things here. First of all, there, you know, so I should, in the interest of full disclosure, I work for the company that owns Reuters News. I'm not involved in the news part of the business. My part of the company is a very small part of the company. But I say that in the interest of full disclosure. Also, I should point out that nothing I say, obviously, it reflects anything on my employer. I'm only speaking for myself and not for them. The opinions expressed here are my own and not those of my employer. But I rely on, you know, reliable news sources, not like Reuters, not the news. That's why I give the disclosure. But Reuters has always been a reliable news service. So I looked at it again today, looked at a couple of Reuters articles about the incident. Number one, as they say, there's no confirmation that this person was transgender. The police officer, I guess the police chief, said that they believe that the individual identifies as transgender. They didn't. The officer didn't say a trans man or a trans woman. They identified the person under the first name of Audrey, which you typically think of as a woman's name, but it certainly could be a man's name, I suppose. I don't know. But there's so they seem to be suggesting that the person was perhaps a trans woman. On the other hand, there's other evidence that the person used male pronouns. So here's the thing, though. What Reuters said, which as far as I can tell is correct, is there's no actual confirmation that this person was trans. Okay, so a lot of it is speculation. Secondly, you know, just to your point, if the person is a trans woman, they were not taking testosterone. That's not how that works.
Right.
So, but even aside from that, you know, you point out that all these crazy people, you know, Donald Trump Jr. was making outrageous claims along these lines.
Of course he was.
A bunch of other people. And, you know, I mean, here's the thing. One of the things they're saying, oh, there's this huge uptick in trans people acting out violently, you know, and committing mass shootings. They're referring, when they say this, they're referring to apparently four incidents. One of which is this current one, and as I say, we don't know whether that person actually was trans. One of the other four incidents was the shooting at the gay nightclub in Colorado.
I think so. Yeah.
That just happened, and that shooter was killed. There's no actual proof that that person was anything other than a cisgender male. They sort of conveniently said in some you know, online forums or whatever, that they were non-binary or something like that. But again, no one actually knows whether that's true. But even if you assume that there are four incidents over the last couple of years that involve trans people, that is a drop in the bucket compared to all of the mass shootings, all of the gun violence, all of the, I mean, it's not even a drop in the bucket. It's a drop inside of a drop inside of a bucket. It is an infinitesimally small number of incidents.
So small.
You know, and look, point blank, and I saw a trans person say this on Twitter, there's no excuse for what happened. That doesn't mitigate what they did in any way, shape, or form. There's, even if you find, I mean, this person apparently attended the school where the shooting took place, even if somehow or another there's some connection and, you know, they were badly treated at school or whatever, I don't care. There's no conceivable defense for shooting anybody, let alone three innocent children.
Right.
Right? So I'm by no means, you know, saying that there's any conceivable way that would mitigate what this person did. On the other hand, to take the fact that a trans person may have committed this crime and use that to attack, you know, trans people in general. I mean, that is straight out of, I'm going to be honest with you, that's straight out of Hitler's playbook, right? It's not just what every racist has ever done. It's not just what every anti-Semite has ever done. It's not just what every misogynist has ever done. It's not just what every person who was, you know, prejudiced against Native Americans or prejudiced against Asian people or prejudiced against Muslims. Every single type of prejudice functions exactly this way, blaming an entire group for the acts of one or two people. But it even goes beyond that. This is how genocidal people talk. This is how genocidal people talk. To blame an entire group of people for an act of violence is simply a way of justifying prejudice and beyond that, justifying violence against them. So, you know, I asked on Twitter the other day, and I'll ask again, you know, I want to know what level of Dante's Inferno is reserved for people who use a mass murder, a mass shooting of innocent children as an excuse to gin up hatred and bigotry towards a marginalized group of people.
Right.
Because Dante should come back from the dead and write that level, create that level just for you, because that's where you belong.
So crazy. Yeah, it was a very emotional week for that happening yet again. And it's just so troubling to just know for parents whose kids are going to school every day, like, well, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
That's so scary.
And again, I mean, like, you know, like I said before, and like we said on other episodes, I mean, we're not, there's no conceivable excuse or justification or explanation for it. It's beyond anything that you can explain, and all you can do is condemn it. And so when I talk about the people who are using it as an excuse to bash the trans community, I'm not in any way, shape, or form making excuses.
Right.
I do know that a lot of the people who use this incident to bash trans people, or a lot of the people who attack trans people and people and allies and supportive people on a daily basis, never seem to say anything about the seemingly constant parade of religious figures and, you know, youth coaches and Boy Scout leaders and Catholic priests and you know, evangelical ministers and so forth, who have not simply been accused of abusing children, but have been, you know, like convicted and sentenced to jail for it. And at a certain point, it seems like the people who incessantly attack the trans community are sort of covering, trying to distract attention away from all of these fundamentally conservative people and institutions who are actually guilty of abusing children. But that's a, you know, that's a subject for another
that
time.
Is. It's true, though. I mean, it's like totally covering up what's been there for the longest time. So, yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it one bit. Anyway, we talked for a half hour already.
We did. We rambled. We ranted.
We raved. We raved. But we appreciate you listening tonight. And definitely check us out where you listen to your favorite podcast. And then we will, in our write-up, just leave some links to stuff that we want you guys to know about.
Yeah, and, you know, as always, you know, please feel free to leave comments. And, you know, if you're in a situation like us where you're, you know, you have a family who are in the community, you know, please reach out to us. We would love to hear from you.
Definitely.
And know that you're not alone.
And we care about you.
We do, and we support you. So thanks for listening, and check us out again next week.
Sounds good.